It is handy already knowing the university when you're turning up for a new postgrad course. So, yeah, that's good.
We'll get started. So thank you, everyone. It's very exciting to have a new batch of mathers come through. We really love this this course, and I think it'll be a really fun time for you. So my name's Cassie, and this is Isla. You won't see much of us this semester, but you'll see a bit of me next semester, and then in your final semester, you'll have two subjects with me. So that's when I kind of have most time with you. Having said that, our office is on the seventh floor. We share an office, and so, I mean, when I say you won't see me much this semester, I mean in terms of teaching. Anything that you need or you're worried about or you want to ask, just come and see us, first of all. Just to let you know, I am recording this, as I said, we've got four students who will be starting but are stuck in China until the travel ban's lifted. So we're going to record all the sessions for them. So I have to stand close to here. I normally like wander around, but I have to stay close to this microphone. So please come and see us whenever you have any questions about anything. We might not be able to answer everything. So there will be some admin-y things that we might send you to Andrew or Sue for. But we want you to see us as your kind of first port of call for anything. So we'll be able to help you. So either email us or drop in. We're on 710. We both do 3 days a week. So if we're not there, hello, we'll be around. So email's probably the best way to get us if we're not in the office, but feel free to pop in. I'm always here on a Monday, which is when you'll have some of your classes as well. So if you want to find me on a Monday, that will be the best time to find me. I'll probably Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But email's probably the best way to get in touch with us. So please talk to us. Let us know how you're going. We're very keen to get feedback as you go. Obviously, this semester you'll do a couple of a subject down at FBE. I'm always keen to hear how those are going. So give us feedback on that as well. But let's get started with one of the reasons we created the map was there wasn't really a pathway for students who'd come through psychology and didn't want to go down that clinical or neuropsych pathway. We kind of, we used to have a third year subject called Applications in Psychology, which you might have missed, but for those who had experienced that, it kind of looked at other career pathways for psychology. And it was always a really well-received subject, and people would come and say, oh, I've heard about all this marketing stuff that you talked about, like how do I pursue that? And we really didn't have a pathway for that kind of career goal or interest goal, and they'd end up going down and doing a master's of marketing or management or over at public policy. And we really thought that we should be providing a pathway for our own psychology students who wanted to pursue this more applied pathway of marketing or public policy or government work or things like that, that were really relevant to the skill set of psychology, but nothing that we had a pathway for. So we created the map, and as you'll see, most of the subjects that you do in the map were created just for the map. So a lot of your, any of the PSYC subjects, except for the data analysis subject that you do this year, this semester, all of them were created from scratch for the map. So we really designed it from the ground up. And that included industry consultation in terms of what employers wanted to see in graduates of this type of program. Also work with students in terms of what things kind of resonated in terms of what they wanted to see in the program. So it really was created as a standalone program that helped us deliver a stream of learning that not only was, well, I think it's the most interesting part of psychology in terms of human behaviour and how we do why we do what we do, but also was really employable. We wanted you to come out of the end of the map with skills that employers would see as valuable and kind of ready to go into a workplace. And we'll talk about later, obviously, the internship component of them that really helps with that employability factor as well. So all of the subjects that we designed from scratch are really made to be a mix of theory and practical. So all of the subjects that you'll do, the PSYC subjects that you'll do, will be in a classroom like this, so small seminar style classes with a bit of kind of lectury stuff in terms of giving you information, but a lot of hands-on practical activities so that you can put what you're learning into action. So we've really designed it that way to be practical, to give you job-ready skills, and to show you how what you're learning in the classroom translates to how companies are using this sort of information when they're out there. So from our first, you're the third year that we've had the map. So you're the third main cohort. We've had a few people start mid-year, but the third main cohort starting. So our first cohort graduated midway through last year, and there were 23, I think, who graduated. 17 had a job before they even went to their graduation ceremony. So really employable skill sets coming out of that. A lot of those jobs were either from their internship or connections that they made during their internship. But I think one thing that I really love about the internship is that it gives you confidence that what you're learning is valued by the employers as well. So when you're in these workplaces and you're looking at a communication strategy, if you're in an ad agency, or a research design, if you're in a research or a consultancy, you can kind of see that everything you've been learning kind of gets put into practice, and what you're learning is valued by those employers. So I think not only is it good for those employers to see you guys and what the MAP is all about, because it's a new course for them, but what we've found is that our MAP students who go out on these internships, I think, feel a bit kind of more confident in their own, in how they sell their skills when they're looking for jobs as well. So we really love that component of it. I want to show you this little video of some of our internship experiences. So this was from our first batch of MAP students. And hopefully this sound all works, but we'll see how it goes.
So what interested us in taking on the MAP intern was that we are so interested in having the best of the best.
I think having a MAP intern student meant that there was less training wheels, that we could actually throw them into the deep end and that they could come out on top.
We felt that a MAP intern will bring not only analytical capabilities, but a broad thinking of human behaviours.
What I enjoyed most about my internship was the ability to go out there and apply the skills that the MAP program gave me and see it actually happen in a work environment.
I decided to do the MAP course because I finished my undergraduate in psychology and I saw the more broad scale applicability of my skills and knowledge.
I think if you want practical skills in an applied setting, I think it's a really good pathway to take. I worked on a couple of different projects start to finish, so looking at data analytics to build a customer profile for particular clients and the knowledge of behavioural psych to sort of build the target consumer for the client.
The skills and knowledge that I've gained from it have been very broadly applicable, and you have the chance to work out along the way what you do and don't like. We can go into public sector like Ireland, but also private sector. You can go into marketing, advertising, research.
I definitely recommend the MAP program because it gives you flexibility to work in any field and keeps your love of psychology alive.
My advice to future MAP graduates would be definitely continue with the university degree because there will no doubt open up a lot of career paths.
All the interns I spoke with were really clever and presented themselves so well. Fitting in with the culture of any business you work in is so important as well. And the interns that I saw were fabulous at doing that.
My advice for future MAP graduates would be that there's a lot of employers that want you. You have the skill sets that are very transferable to lots of different industries and lots of different roles.
If anyone's unsure about whether they want to study the MAP or not, I'll suggest that it's a very good way of moving from a clinical orientation to a more commercial orientation. So for me, my undergrad was very much clinically focused and this presented a very good opportunity to shift and experience the applications of psych in a more commercial context.
I loved my internship at Forethought, and I was very fortunate to come on as a part-time employee during my last semester. So let's see where it goes from there.
So of those four students that you met, Rita ended up working full-time at Roy Morgan, where she did her at Forethought, where she did her internship. Roy, who did his internship at Behavioural Insights team, is now at KPMG in their health consulting department. Winona did her internship at Behavioural Insights team, but then got hired by Forethought. And Darcy did his internship at Roy Morgan, then worked full-time at Roy Morgan and has just moved to another data analysis firm. So of those four, their internship was really important to their future kind of career paths as well. So one of the challenges that we had at the beginning of the MAP is because it opens so many doors, it can actually be a bit daunting for incoming students to sort of think, but what am I going to be at the end of it? And I think now that we've got these great kind of employability outcomes of our first batch of students, what I wanted to create when we had the map was a set of skills and knowledge and ideas that you could then take to whatever kind of career path that interested you most in terms of, you know, relevant career paths for the map. So some students come in and just love advertising and they can pursue that. So we have people working in PR and communications agencies from that kind of angle. Some really love the kind of public policy side of things. And Roy was one of those who was just really intent on looking at public health and public policy. So he's now working at KPMG in their health consulting. So one of the big four consulting firms, getting in there with their health consulting. Other people like the idea of research and data analysis. So we have a lot of students go into kind of market research and data analysis positions. So I really like the breadth of options that the map gives you. It's not just like, okay, you do this degree and there's one sort of job that fits you at the end of it. But I think that breadth of opportunity was a challenge at the start when people didn't know what kind of job students would end up in. So we love seeing our students now kind of out there in the world and getting these really different types of jobs to sort of show you the opportunities that are out there for you. And what it really comes down to is how you package up and sell the skills that you get from the map to an employer. And that will really change. So if you're going for a government job, you'll have a very different kind of pitch in an interview in terms of what skills you've picked up from the map than if you're going for a job in an advertising agency. So it's really, and we work with you throughout the course of the program to think about ways that you'd kind of sell or pitch yourself to different employers depending on who they are. You're still talking about the same skill set that you get through the map, but the way you kind of pitch yourself to an ad agency is very different to how you'd pitch yourself to a government policy department, for example. So even though those two roles are completely compatible with the map skill set, depending on what you want to pursue, how you kind of convey yourself and your skills to those employers will differ a lot depending on who they are. And we'll help you work on that throughout the program.
So
I just wanted to show you in terms of the internships. So these are the internships that our students are doing right now. So some do the internship full-time over summer. So the internship involves 20 full-time days of working in an organisation. So some students and organisations prefer to do that in like a full-time block before semester starts. So we have some students working basically full-time over February, and then other internships are spread out through the semester. So you do sort of 2 or 3 days a week during the semester. So as long as we get the 20 full-time days, there's a lot of variation and flexibility in terms of how those 20 days are spread out. So some of our internship hosts really prefer that full-time block in February, and some prefer the spread out. And there's pros and cons of both. I think it's a very different experience when you're going into a company 2 days a week than if you're going in 5 days a week for a block, and you get different things out of it. I think the full-time block gives you a much more realistic view of what working in a place like that would be like if this was your everyday job. But the 2 day a week gives you a longer time span there, so you can kind of see more things through from beginning to end, even though you're not there every day. So there's pros and cons of both time options for those internships. But in terms of outcomes, we've had students get jobs at their internship hosts who've done the full-time and the kind of spread out block. So it's not necessarily that one's better or worse in terms of showing your skills. It's just in terms of a different experience of a workplace. So we've got a couple of advertising and PR roles. So there's four agencies there that do advertising, communications, PR. So if you're interested in that, then that will be an internship that you might want to look at. Then we've got a bunch of organisations and government departments that kind of look at social behaviour change. So instead of, you know, at Cummins and Partners, you might be working on an advertising campaign for Jeep or some sort of consumer product. If you're working at TAC, you're still looking at selling a behaviour change, but you'll be looking at selling safe driving messages rather than selling a product. So we look a lot in our attitude and behaviour change class and influence and persuasion class, the different sort of techniques and strategies when it comes to selling a product, for example, as opposed to selling a behavior change. So you can see these kind of more behavior change organizations in there. We've got government and policy units and behavioral insights teams. So one of the kind of hot topics in government policy at the moment is the idea of a behavioral insights team. So a lot of government departments and state and federal governments now have these behavioural insights teams, and it's all about understanding human behaviour to help implement a policy or decide what the right policy is going to be, or to roll out a healthy eating program through schools or whatever it is, but using the kind of psychology of exactly what we will be learning in the MAP on how to roll out sort of large-scale government policies. We always have a strong foothold in the market and social research area. So there's four agencies there who take interns. And I think if you're ever unsure about what you want to do after the MAP, market research is kind of the best place to kind of go, because your skills are immediately kind of relevant and loved by the agencies, because there's not really any other degree that teaches you exactly what you would do in a market research agency in terms of design surveys, analyze data, do qualitative research, put it all together and sell it to a client in terms of the report. So you're immediately welcomed in terms of being ready to work on projects. But from your perspective, it also gives you an idea of working on different types of projects. So a lot of market research agencies will do projects for government and social kind of things, as well as for consumer kind of project. So it gives you a chance to kind of say, what do I really enjoy doing? So even though you might not stay in market research forever, it's a really good training ground for honing your skills and putting into practice what you've learned in the MAP, but also opening up your kind of worldview in terms of what opportunities there are. You might say, you know what, I actually really love working on social behavior change projects, so now I'm going to go and pursue a career in behavioral insights teams for government, or I just really love the advertising development side of things, which is a really another common project in market research agencies, and then you might decide to pursue an advertising kind of role. So any experience in a market research agency is also really well received by other employers. So if you're ever kind of thinking, oh, I don't really know what I want to do at the end, I think having that kind of market research career path as an option is a really good one for your kind of future career thoughts. User experience is kind of a new-ish kind of hot topic. So it's all about understanding how people interact with websites or technology projects, technology platforms, and how to optimize that experience. So MYOB is, I mean, it sounds really boring, but it's an accounting software firm. But the side that we work on is, how do people interact with that software? What can MYOB do to enhance that that interaction with the product to make it easier and more pleasant for the people using the product, but also getting more accurate stuff into the project? So the contact we have there has a PhD in psychology. She heads up the research design area of MYOB, and it's a really, even though it's for accounting, which can sound kind of dry and boring, the stuff that they do within the research area of MYOB is really interesting in terms of interfaces and how people interact with technology and getting that right. Invato, similarly, it's a technology platform that creates products for different social media and technology platforms, but they're all about the user experience. So the research is headed up again by a PhD in psychology, a girl from here actually, and it's all about how to maximise that user experience. And she, the person who heads up that research area at Envato, comes in and does a guest lecture in our influence and persuasion subject, so you'll meet her as well. And then we also have a corporate consulting internship at Ernst & Young. So if you're kind of more keen on the idea of working in a big consulting company, we can look at that through EY. Now that we have Roy at KPMG, we'll be looking to add KPMG into that mix as well for an internship. So a real range in terms of experiences and organisations, but that's kind of what we want from our employment outcomes with you guys as well. So we really wanted the internships to reflect the broadness of the breadth of opportunities in terms of your employability as well. So you don't have to, we find the internships for you. So these are ones that we have arrangements with the company. So the idea with the internships is when it comes to that, so at the end of this year, towards the end of semester two, we'll send you all out a pack that says, here are our 2021 internships. And you basically send us back your kind of top five preferences for your internship and why you want to do those. And we match you to an internship place. So some of our internships like to do interviews first of all, to meet you, but also to give you a more realistic idea of what job hunting is about. So even though some of our students hate the idea of interviews, once they've gone through it, they're like, that was actually a really useful job skill to get as well. So some of our internship hosts like to interview and they might interview three students and choose one. Others are just happy to go with our recommendations. So some people have the interview experience and some don't. And then you work, we work with you and the host to work out whether you'll be doing the 20 days full time or the spread out over the semester internship. So that's a really popular choice. As you see in your handbook, you can either do an internship or a research project. So we've only ever had 5 people choose to do the research project instead of the internship. So what we found is most students want the kind of real life experience of doing an internship. The only reason we've had students choose to do the research project instead of the internship, if you are thinking that a PhD is in your future, the research project gives you the necessary independent research criteria that you need to pursue a PhD, where the internship doesn't. So it hasn't really been, a lot of the people who come through the MAP aren't necessarily looking at doing a PhD. They want to do the MAP and then go and work. But if you think a PhD is something that you'd be looking at doing imminently, as in as soon as you finish the MAP, we'd recommend you do the research project just to get over that kind of barrier of needing to show 25 points of an independent research project. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about whether you want to do the internship or the research project. It's not something you need to think about until the end of this year, but it does come around for you can't do both.
Super indecisive.
Yeah, I know. It does sound like a long way away, but what you'll find is once semester starts, time goes very fast. So it'll be time to choose before you know it. So just as you're kind of going through semester one and semester two, just kind of keep in your mind a kind of decision about whether you think an internship or a research project would be right for you. As I said, we've had, 70 students through the MAP so far, and only 5 have chosen the research project, and those 5 all chose it because they had the idea of pursuing a PhD. So keep that in mind. Yeah, so 2 went back to China just this year to go back to do their PhD back there, and 2 have just finished, so they've applied for PhD positions. I just wanted to show you a few job outcomes. So Kate did her internship at an advertising agency and then got picked up by AltShift, which is a communications and PR agency, and her role is a junior strategic planner. The other thing with the MAP is the roles for which you are kind of suited to all have such varied names. So you could be a policy analyst if you're working in government. You'd be a strategic planner if you're in advertising or communications. You'd be a researcher if you're in a research agency. So it's very hard when it comes to like looking at Seek or one of those job sites in terms of what job roles to look for. So that's something we sort of continually talk about as well. You'll meet a lot. We have a lot of industry guests come in throughout the program, and we always get them to say what job roles, you know, in their organisation are most relevant to you. But it is a really tricky one in terms of if you're just, you know, looking on Seek to see what sort of roles are suited to MAP, it's quite hard given the variety in job role titles that you are kind of relevant for. So she really loves it. And I think if you're interested in this kind of communications or advertising space, now is a really good time to get out there with a psychology kind of credential. It's sort of the hot thing at the moment. Every advertising agency wants to say they've got kind of someone who's an expert in psychology or behavior change or behavioral insights or whatever kind of jargon term. they're using, but it's all about understanding human behaviour from a kind of communications perspective. So she was, even though she was a new recruit at as a junior planner, the industry magazine called Mumbrella sort of did a profile on her being hired by AltShift. So sort of saying AltShift is ahead of the curve by trying to get a psychology graduate into their planning department. So it is something that's quite well recognised in the ad land world, the benefit that comes from having a psychology background. So Winona, you saw in the video, did her internship at Behavioural Insights team and is now at Forethought. She's actually just been at Forethought, have a US office, and Winona was chosen to go and spend a couple of months in the US office. So they just love her work and the fact that she comes with such a wealth of experience in terms of the psychology background, and to translate that into questionnaire and research design. So she's really kicking goals there and is off to the US shortly to spend some time in their American office. Darcy, who you met in the video as well, is at Roy Morgan. He's just left Roy Morgan actually last week, and is going on to another data analysis role that he was actually headhunted for. So the fact that, you know, people kind of got word of what he was doing at Roy Morgan and then wanting to come and work for them is pretty good for like a year and a half out of his degree. Emma, so I should also declare that Empirica Research is an agency that I own. So I have sort of two, have a foot in the commercial world and a foot in the academic world, but we hired Emma as well. And it is so, we have always had a history of hiring psychology graduates, but it's different. Hiring a MAP student just takes out a lot of the kind of, you'd hire a psychology student, you'd know they'd have the psychology background, but then you'd have to teach them about, so this is how you write a survey and this is what it means for a client. So it just shortens that kind of transition time from uni to work, when what you've done in the MAP kind of covers that kind of work-ready skills that research agencies really like. So one of the things that we wanted to make sure, and we are very careful to make sure that this gets through in all the communications, is that at the end of the MAP, you're not a registered psychologist. So this isn't doesn't have that professional registration. But for the careers and jobs that you guys will be going into, that isn't a barrier, either for entry or progression. So I'm not a registered psychologist. So a lot of people within the kind of business world or commercial world or even government policy world who work in behavioural insights or things like that don't have the professional accreditation of being a registered psychologist. So the only reason you need to have a registration as a psychologist is if you're in a clinical setting seeing patients, or if you wanted to pursue a more traditional organisational psychology path where you're doing testing of people who perhaps are going into different job roles, then you need that registration. But for the jobs for which MAP is relevant, the registration doesn't kind of limit you in terms of what you can do. As I said, a lot of the subjects that you'll do in the MAP were designed from scratch for the MAP. So it's a really new way of designing a subject in terms of having theory and content plus practical elements. So you'll do lots of class activities and putting what you're learning into action. We have lots of industry guests. So you'll see a lot of what you're learning in action, either by what you're doing in terms of the class activities or who's coming to visit you from different job areas. I'm sure you know all this, but in terms of the structure, 1.5 years full time. The cohort size is usually 25 to 35. So this year, I think we've got 23. You'll have some of your subjects will have a bit more than that, because if people started mid-year last year, then they might be in your advanced social psych subject this year. So all of your PSYC subjects, except for advanced design and data analysis, are pretty much only MAP students. So we really like that sort of cohort experience that you get going through the MAP. And I was just saying to Madeline before that we had three students who met in the first intake of the MAP, and they hadn't known each other before they met, and they've just all, they've got their first jobs and they've moved into a share house together. They sent me a photo saying, like, we created a little MAP house with three students who went through. But it is kind of unique in, especially uni of this size, to have that kind of small group experience. And students love it. And so we've got a LinkedIn group as well, which I know LinkedIn is like the daggiest of the social media, but there's a LinkedIn group that's just for past and present MAP students, but it's a really, and I'll give you information on finding that, but that's a really good resource as well. So you can join that group and kind of see what past MAP students are doing, and that becomes a good networking tool as well. But it's unusual in a uni this size to have that kind of small group experience. It's great for us too, to actually kind of get to know all of you, whereas in lecture theatres of 300 or 400 people, you kind of see faces that you recognise, but you never really get to know the students. Whereas in a classroom style like this, it's really nice to kind of get to know you. It helps us as well when it comes to internships. We can kind of say, you know, I think you'd be really suited to this or that. So we love the kind of small group experience. Just in terms of the structure, which so I think this week you have your full day of advanced design and data analysis. Is that right? Is that tomorrow or Friday? So look, advanced design and data analysis is one of those subjects that everyone hates, but is really useful. Yeah. So in that subject, you'll be doing it with the fourth year students. So that's the one that's a MAP and fourth year subject combined. And look, it is good doing that full day because it means the rest of the semester is a little bit less stressful. But just to warn you that, yeah, most students, fourth year or MAP students, kind of dislike that subject, I think would be fair enough to say. But it's really useful skills. And as you'll see, a lot of our MAP graduates end up going into data analysis type roles where they kind of send me an email saying, as much as I hated ADDA, it's really useful in my job. So embrace it. So the dark blue subjects that I've got there are ones that are just MAP subjects. So in those, you'll just be with other mappers, either this, your cohort that are starting right now, or others who are either doing part-time, who started mid-year, who might be out of whack with a start year progression. So you'll have advanced social psychology this semester. And then obviously for your other subject this semester, you're doing either consumer behaviour or marketing management down at FBE. So who chose consumer behaviour? Yep, and who chose marketing management? Okay, good mix. Mm. Yep, and they're both really relevant, and that's why we had both of them there. From next year, psychology advertising will go back to a standard semester one subject, but at the moment it's a winter subject. So we used to have someone from the US come over and teach that, which is why it was a winter intensive. But now it has gone back to a, so I take that subject now. So we'll move it back to a semester one next year. Doing it as an intensive is interesting. It's kind of 8 days of kind of, we do everything in 8 days. So it's a good way of getting a subject out of the way quickly, but it's a pretty kind of brutal way of getting it done. It's quite exhausting for you guys to kind of get a whole subject done in 8 days, but we try and make it as fun as possible.
Did you say so you're talking about the winter one?
Yeah, yeah.
That next year it's going back to
next year we'll go back to semester one.
So if for whatever reason you cannot do that as an intensive, is there the option to do it next?
Yeah, you'll just be underloaded this semester because it'll count as a semester one subject. So for those of you who have load requirements, you have to have a 50 point. If you're an international student, you have to have a 50 point load. Yeah. So it counts as a semester one subject in terms of that. If load isn't necessarily an issue for you and you can't do the winter, you could look at doing it next semester, but that will impact your timing for the internship. So at the moment, so when you get to semester three, we basically have those two subjects on a Monday and Friday, so that you've got the 3 days sort of spare to study and have a life, but also if you're doing that internship throughout the semester, we need those days free for people doing that. So if you then chose to do psych of advertising, that might mess up your 3 days there. Although I think it will be on a Monday. So just keep that in mind. Then semester two, have attitude and behaviour change, applied research methods, and then you have two external subjects. Consulting fundamentals is down at FBE. It's an interesting subject because it's focused on kind of business consulting and case studies and skills for business consulting. And so the feedback from the students this year was some of them couldn't see the link between what they wanted to do and consulting fundamentals until they start their internship. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, okay, now I get it. So most of you will end up working in some sort of a consulting role. It might not be in a business consulting like KPMG or EY, but it might be in a research agency or an advertising agency where you're a consultant. So I would, my advice for that subject is go in with an open mind and don't necessarily get caught up on the business jargon or the kind of specific case studies that they're doing, and focus more on the skills that you learn within that subject and how you can apply those skills in a consulting role for whatever end, or job you end up doing. But we'll talk more about that in semester two. And then another great subject over at public policy. So you'll do qualitative research in public health, which is a great subject in terms of practical hands-on examples of how to do qualitative research for large scale projects. Again, so some students say, well, I don't want to work in public health. And they sort of go into the subject thinking, I want to go and work in advertising. So why should I do a public health subject? Focus less on the fact that it's public health and more on the skills that you're learning. So they come out of it going, oh, this is amazing. Now I have proper training on how to do interviews and focus groups and qualitative research. And it's less about the focus on public health, although some love it, because obviously we've got a lot of students who like that idea of public health programs and research. But if that's not your kind of cup of tea, focus more on the skills that you get out of that, because it's really good practical training on qualitative research methods. In semester three, you're all MAP, so you do thinking, judgment and decision making, influence and persuasion, so that's with me, and then either your internship or your group research project. So it's a really nice kind of combination of theory and practice. Obviously most of the subjects are here at MSPS, but we love the inclusion of the public policy and the FBE subjects, because I think they're the two kind of school, oh, so faculty of business and economics. So that's the red ones. So we really love the inclusion of public policy and those business subjects, because they fit so well with the kind of career pathways that we see for MAP. So we know that some of our MAPers go into kind of a public health or government health policy kind of role. We also know that some go into a more businessy consulting kind of role. So having those subjects outside of psychology really help your employability as well. And so in those subjects, the red ones at FBE, there'll be a much larger class cohort, which I think is actually good for you to experience big and small. So in all the MAP subjects, they're going to be quite small classroom size seminars in a room like this. And in your red subjects, you'll have the much more traditional large groups. Public health is a small, it's sort of in between. It's bigger than your MAP subjects, but not as big as the FBE subjects. But it also gives you chances to meet other people who might have different kind of backgrounds and pathways in terms of where they're going, but who might end up having a similar kind of interest to you in terms of pursuing a marketing kind of career or pursuing a public health kind of career. So I think it's also really nice that you get to meet those different people within the university. So we've got details on all the subjects, but we don't need to do that. I'll put this deck up online for you. As I said, any questions, please come to me or to Isla first. We're here to help you through this program. So anything that you want to ask, ask us. If you know that your question is kind of more admin-y or how do I print pages or how do I get into the school after hours or on the weekend or whatever, direct those to that postgrad email address. But otherwise, feel free to ask us anything. The other thing I'd really encourage you to do is you are postgraduate members of the school, which gives you access to the facilities. You can use the tea room up on level 12. But also make sure you come. There's lots of talks and colloquiums and guest lectures that the school put on. Make sure that you come to them and really kind of get involved in the school. I think it's really important for you to kind of see as much as you can while you're here. Three semesters goes really, really fast, so you'll be out before you know it. So take advantage as much as you can as you're kind of position as a postgraduate student here. So you'll see announcements, just make sure you check your uni email as well. I think email is on the decline in terms of method of communication for you young folk, but make sure you use your uni email. It's where all the communications will come to for talks and other events that are on. And I would just encourage you to get involved as much as you can in the school kind of life, but come to us for any questions. And I think that's it in terms, do you have anything else to add in terms of information or advice?
Yeah.
World advice, life advice?
I suppose that Cassie, as you said, she has her own market research agency. I've come to work in this degree recently, having been a PhD graduate about 12 years ago, gone out and worked in the public sector. So coming back with that kind of knowledge of, you know, the working context. So for both of us, it's really important, not just for you to gain all of this knowledge that you can use, but to help you be prepared for going out and getting a job. So we've got a real focus on that, and, you know, we'll have conversations with you along the way about those things and making you as ready as possible to go out into the world of work. And certainly, you know, I would be really keen to sit down and, you know, one-on-one with each of you and get to know you, you know, as time goes on. So, but we're really looking forward to working with you. You know, we're very excited about this degree and are very happy every time someone finishes and gets a job, and love to celebrate that. So looking forward to doing that with all of you.
And that's the other benefit of having such a small group, is we do kind of know everyone, especially by the time you get to the end, and we keep in touch with them and they send us notes about where they've just got a job or what they're doing. But if any of you also, if you want to speak to any people who've gone through the MAP, let us know, and we can kind of, not that it's an official buddy system, but we can certainly kind of put you in touch with someone who's gone through, who might, if you say, oh, I really want to work in market research, or I really want to work in advertising or corporate consulting or whatever, we can kind of buddy you up with someone who took that pathway. I think sometimes it's more useful to talk to a student who's gone through and he's working than necessarily talking to us. Obviously, we're happy to talk to you whenever you want, but sometimes just getting that experience from someone who's kind of gone through exactly what you're doing and getting their thoughts on what it's like to work in that kind of industry. So please, we really want to kind of grow the kind of MAP network. So we want, you know, in 10 years, we want you to say, oh, I ran into some so-and-so from the MAP and we ended up working together, whatever. So I think see it as a really useful networking tool as well. So if you're interested in talking to someone who's gone through the MAP, it might not be something that you're kind of ready for yet, but as you're going through this semester going, oh, I really like this kind of data analysis angle and what jobs are out there, we can kind of buddy you up with a MAP grad who is working in that area. So any other questions?
When you're talking about the internships, is there many situations where two people will have the same host, or did you
know? Yeah, a few. So who takes two? Roy Morgan takes two. Behavioural Insights Unit takes two. Our Watch takes two. Yeah, a few. Yep. So.
And I also was going to ask, of all the people that have gone in from a job from their internship, is there like a specific category that seems more likely of those categories? Or is it kind
of... That's an interesting question. Market research agencies have been really strong hirers. They like see the internships and like, we want to keep you. but having said that, we've also had comms and Cancer Council have hired two or three of our graduates. So it's varied, but I think market research agencies are probably, if I had to pick one kind of group that was most likely to hire. And look, we can't promise a job from the internship, but history suggests that a lot of our grads end up getting a job from their internship, but I'm not allowed to say do an internship and you get a job, but a lot of them do. I think market research agencies have probably been the strongest hirers straight from, and some have gotten jobs from not necessarily the internship host, but someone they've met while doing their internship. One of our girls did an internship at TAC, which does road safety research, and she now works at Monash University Road Safety Unit, Newark. Not that we mentioned the Monash word here, but, you know. So that was from a connection at her internship. And TAC really loved her, but didn't have a role that was kind of she could go into. But Newark said, "Oh, we'll," you know, and she ended up doing some casual work for them, and then they hired her full time. So she started full time relatively soon. So I think when you get to the internship, we'll have some more sessions with you in terms of how to kind of utilize that experience. But a lot of it comes down to networking and making the most of every kind of connection that you get through that experience to maximize that chance of having a job outcome.
Are they all Melbourne-based?
Yeah, so well, except for one. So we didn't do it this year, but we have the previous two and we will next year. There's one, Behavioural Insights team is based in Sydney. And they have traditionally taken two interns, and we couldn't do it this year just for logistical reasons. But that involves going to Sydney for a month. You get some financial support from the school and some financial support from them. That's a really popular one when it has been offered as well. So Emma did that one. So the girl you know did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Any other questions? I hope you get more talkative through the course. I know it's hard on a day like this to kind of take everything in, but we do want it to be a very kind of open, want you to kind of talk to us and feel comfortable asking questions and getting to know each other as well. But so if you don't have any other questions now, you're free to go.
I do have another one, but I just tried to stop being such an obnoxious asshole. I don't know if you can answer this one, but semester two has like four subjects. Do you know generally how it usually works out with contact days in that semester, or does it just depend on?
It'll depend. So the our ones are, our subjects are usually Mondays, I think, for those ones. Let me just check. Yeah, so applied research methods and attitude and behaviour change, I think, are Mondays, and I think they're both Mondays. But then the others are, the good thing with the FBE subjects, the red ones, they have heaps of options for, so some people choose to do it at nighttime, some do it during daytime, but there's lots of options that you can have for class times. So I think it ends up being you can probably do it within 2 days of being here. But yeah, I'm not sure of the public health time.
But all the MAT ones seem to be like you do them in succession.
Yes. Yep. Cool. Yep.
I'm done. sorry.
Don't apologise. I'll have questions. Yes. Yeah, we haven't got to that. So I think we just had to put that there in case we had 50 people get into the MAT and we kind of didn't have enough places. So we've never had someone want to do an internship who hasn't gotten a place yet. So that's just there as a safeguard if we ever get flooded with methods. But our goal is to kind of keep the cohort size at this kind of 25 to 35. I think it's a really good experience for you. It gives us good experience in terms of being able to offer that internship, but that's just there as a kind of safeguard in case.
With the FBE subjects, yep. Do you know, because they're just like a lecture, like a 3-hour lecture, do you know if they take attendance at that?
I think they do. So I know consulting fundamentals breaks it up into sort of seminary style groups, yeah. And you have a group project and you have to be there.
Yeah.
I think consumer behavior and marketing management, I don't think they take attendance at the lectures.
Yeah.
I think that's just a more traditional lecture kind of style. Big lecture style yeah. stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I noticed there was something that said there's like a class participation mark.
Yeah. Unless they have a seminar kind of component.
Yeah.
It might be, just check, because I think one of them had like a 2-hour lecture and a 1-hour kind of tutorial, but it was all in the same 3-hour block. Yeah. So just check, because if it has a seminary style tutorial thing, that will definitely be attendance based. Big lectures aren't, and we know a lot of people just look at the recordings of those. I would encourage you to come and be here as much as you can. I think you just get a different experience than watching online. Obviously, we've got some people stuck in China at the moment who will be watching online for a little while, but hopefully they'll be here soon. Come in as much as you can just to experience it. Three semesters goes really fast. So one consistent piece of feedback from our MAP students is the MAP goes really, really quickly. It won't feel like it when you're kind of in week 6 and doing exams or getting your essays ready. It'll feel like it's dragging really slowly. But before you know it, you'll be out there on your internship looking for a job. So enjoy the 3 semesters here while you can. Anything else? All right, enjoy. Go and have your lunch.
I've just got a couple of you who haven't.
We'll grab your attendance. Have fun at your stats day this week.
Yeah.
Thanks for not making it say like 3 things about ourselves.
Oh, yeah.